All right, well, good morning. I think it's time to begin. Good to see everyone. I want to remember Jackie was saying that Sandra's not doing well still. He's going back home to check on her, but she wasn't doing well this morning. And so we want to remember both Jackie and Sandra in our prayers. We want to remember Jody as he's in Belize and traveling and the work there and the Bible studies and things that he's doing and the brethren are doing there. We want to remember those who are not feeling well. We still have several out. I was texting Brian yesterday. He was saying he was feeling better yesterday. So I want to continue to remember him and others, Vance and Lynn. And, and I'm teaching this morning because our brother Doug is called off to save the world in Fayetteville. And so he got called off to work, and so I'm filling in for him this Sunday morning for Bible class. And Roger will be preaching to us during the worship hour. Let's go ahead and have a prayer before we get into to class. Father, we're so thankful for how you watch over us. We're thankful for the blessings that you give us. Father, we're thankful for your mercy and your love and your grace that allows us to live a life in peace and knowing that we're walking with you, living a life that where we make mistakes and know that you love us and that you'll take care of us and that you want to be with us. We thank you for how you bless us each day. We pray that you would be with those of our number who are ill, that you might watch over them and help them to recover quickly. And we pray that you would be with those who are away from us, whether they're traveling or work takes them away, that you might watch over them. Father, we're thankful for all that worship here in Sanford. We'd ask that you would bless us. There's always challenging times in various ways, and we'd ask that you would help us to have the right heart and that we might be unified in truth, Father. We thank you for your Son and the blessings that we experience through him, and it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Okay. So I'm not doing the Minor Prophets. I'll leave that to Doug, and he's doing an excellent job in that space. And today I thought I would talk about kind of one of God's promises to us. And God's made a lot of promises to us in Scripture. And I'm not asking you to guess which one I'm going to talk about this morning, but when you think about the promises of God, promises that he's made or made to you, do any come to mind? What are some of the promises that he's made?
He won't destroy the earth again.
That he won't destroy the earth again. How?
By water.
By water, right? So it will get destroyed at some point, but he's not going to do it like he did it in Noah's time. He's not going to flood the earth again. And he gave us a sign to remember that because, of course, we're not the best at remembering things. What else?
Eternal life.
Eternal life. Say more. How do we...
If we live righteously, we'll be rewarded with heaven.
Okay, so he's promised us, right? Jesus did when he said, hey, don't fear, right? I'm going back to my Father's, the heaven, right, where there are many mansions. Right? I'm going to go build a place for you. Right? If you do what I say, you'll be with me, and you will live with me. We all will have eternal life, right? At conception, you are an eternal being. There is a part of you that is eternal. But where and all of that, but he's promised that those who obey him and those that love him and do the things that will get to live with him for eternity, which is quite the promise. And as we've talked about before, that is part of the reason of all of this, is he is letting us choose. He's letting us figure out who really wants to be with me. Let me see who really wants to be with me. And those are the people who, they're going to be with me. And I'm not going to force those that don't to be with me. Right? And they can decide. What else? What other promises come to mind?
To be with me. He'll forgive us when we do wrong, as long as we ask.
Okay, so he promises to forgive. Right? And that's pretty fantastic, because you don't always get forgiveness. And to have the God, you know, of all promise, right, that he will forgive is a great promise. Anything else?
His son, Jesus, that's the greatest promise. He sent him to us so that he could die for us and we'd have a chance to be with him forever.
Okay, so the promise of salvation through Christ. Okay, so a lot of things that God promises, and some of those that we've mentioned are things to come still. We haven't seen some of those promises come to fruition, right? Well, I've not seen heaven come to fruition yet, right? I have seen and felt God's forgiveness. And I believe and I know that he does forgive. He can promise peace, right? He promises peace for those. Doesn't mean always that we're always happy, but he promises peace. You can have peace in God. He promises, what about as far as our ability to overcome sin? Does he promise anything there?
That we won't be tempted beyond what we can handle.
Yeah, he's not going to allow us to be overwhelmed beyond the point that we can't handle. And
which I know we've talked, sorry to cut you off, but I know we've talked about that before. I think it was you teaching, actually. That doesn't mean you're not going to be tempted crazy, but there's going to be a door. There will always be a way of...
People
kind of misunderstand that sometimes, of realizing that you won't be tempted more if you look to God to help you. That he's there to help you out.
That's right. It doesn't mean, yeah, that you're not going to be tempted in a way that you won't succumb to it. It's that you won't. He knows your ability to handle temptation, and he will provide a door. He will provide an escape. He'll provide a way. But we also have to be looking for it, right? And a lot of times, you know, we're not looking. When I think about what Job went through, the way that God talked about Job and how he was an upright man, and you know, have you considered my servant Job and how fantastic and amazing? I mean, Job was, God allowed him, you know, allowed Satan to tempt him something unbelievable. Now, you know, I mean, I don't think I would have done what Job did. I don't think I'm, you know, the man Job was. But God knew. He knew how far Job could go. Okay, turn to Romans 8:28. Can someone read Romans 8:28 for me, please?
Together for good. good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose.
Okay. So it doesn't take long to read that. What does that mean to you, Romans 8:28? Okay. Yeah, so there's a bit of, back to what Tori was saying a moment ago, you know, you've got to look for things, right? You have to look for the escape, or you have to look for God. There's an active part, right? We know that all things work together. So as Mark's saying, you know, things come together, right? Work together for good. But is it for everyone? Do things always work together for good for everybody? He says, to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. So things work out. So we're going to talk about this. Does that mean that there's never going to be anything bad? No, but they will work out. They will work out for good. What does good mean? So, and we know that all things work together for good.
In this context, I hear benefit.
Okay, for benefit?
I mean, like a good being a benefit. There's a purpose, there's a reason, mm-hmm. there's a positive outcome.
Biblically good, not got my new house or my new car.
Okay.
Scripturally good stuff.
Okay. Biblically good, scripturally good, spiritually good. You know, I might add, yep. Okay. So bigger picture good. Not super mortal Patrick good. Right? All the things that mortal Patrick is wanting and looking for and considering good, and as I'm flailing around in the cereal aisle on the floor because I want what I think I want and what is good may or may not be. There's a vision, right? May not be the best thing for me. Okay. So what is good, spiritually good, things that we learn about in the scriptures and the Bible. Okay. So let's look at this. So the very first part of this, it says, what are the second and third words?
We know.
And we know. We know this. How do we know? Do you know?
The Bible tells me so.
Other than the Bible telling you so, do you know that things work together? Do you know that? How do you know?
God made the promise.
Well, but you see it in your life.
Okay, so God made the promise.
You see it in your life. You see it work.
Okay.
We talk about this a lot in our home with everything we have going on. Sienna's the only one really kind of old enough to understand it at this point, but just because you've been through trouble doesn't mean you can't turn it into what you need to please God, to do others, to help. Anything's going to be what you make of it. And when you can step back and see it, it's easier to keep going.
Yeah.
You have the visual in front of you.
I mean, when does this good come? So it talks about that things will work together for good. But when does that good come?
Likely not on our time frame.
Okay, so not always on our time frame.
It might not be till you get to heaven. I mean, you know you have an eternal reward if you're doing what you're supposed to be doing. That doesn't mean anybody on earth has to give you a pat on the back.
So it could be, and it is at times, this life. And sometimes it might not be until after this life. Right? But good is coming. Did you?
But I also think it's a lot shorter than that. I mean, if you're living as God wants you to, then, you know, chances are that's going to keep you away from dependency problems, other carousing, you know, problems that can take us, you know, just completely off the rails. And I know you've heard this too, but missionaries that have gone in and baptized the whole village and then come back a year later, the folks are doing a whole lot better than they were the year before, you know, by living with God.
Yeah, go ahead.
We have to remember too, our definition of good is usually drastically different than God's definition of good. So a lot of times people will quote this verse and, you know, what they're trying to imply is, you know, maybe somebody that has a health issue or cancer or something, they're going to live. You know, God's going to work all things together for good and we're going to have our human good. But God's definition of good is something drastically different. I mean, his ultimate goal is to bring us into a relationship with him. And for those people who already have that relationship, his goal is to make us more like his son. So, you know, if you put those in the context of good and how things work out, you know, that person with cancer may die. But if they obey the gospel, if they spur other people that they've touched in their lives to obey the gospel, that's good for God. You know, but humans may not necessarily see that as good.
Okay. Yeah, so it gets back to, right, the spiritual good is what we're talking about, right? That the ultimate good. Now we know, and we'll look at, you know, in Matthew and other places, there's good in this life, right? So back to what Van's saying too, living as a Christian is really the easiest life. Living as a Christian is the easiest life. You may not think it's the easiest life at times. But when you think about what God expects you to do and the principles that you have, it's the best life. Even being nice to people, walking away from a fight, walking away from, you know, not stealing, not lying, all of that stuff, it does not make your life simpler. It does not make your life simpler. It makes our life much more complicated. It brings a lot more pain. It brings a lot more agony in various ways. And it doesn't bring peace, and it doesn't bring joy, and it doesn't bring, right? So there's a lot of benefit, there's a lot of good that comes from living the Christian life. And even where and when Christians are persecuted, it's still the best life to live. Right? Because even if your life is cut short, the bigger picture, right, it works out. God is just wanting you to choose. Choose me or choose man, but choose. And all of these things that we do are signaling to him who we're choosing. And sometimes that choice might abruptly end our life here. If that's the case, we've chosen. This is just time that's created for us to demonstrate our love to God. Why? Well, one, because we love him for what he's doing for us and what he's promised and what he's going to provide and how he takes care of us here. But that's nothing how he's going to take care of us after here. It's forever locked down. It's the very best feeling that you can have on this planet. The very highest level of comfort, the highest euphoria that you can have here. It's, what do you think God has waiting for us after? Right? It's there's nothing on this earth that compares to where we're going to be.
Kind of to add to that, you know, and probably if you ask most people this question, they would probably say something similar, but when I do an interview for a job, one of the questions we ask is, what is your biggest fear in the fire service? 9 times out of 10, it's death, dying in a fire. And for me, personally, I'm not afraid of that at all, you know, and it's because of my relationship with God. Now, with that, you know, I'd be sad to leave my family, my kids, y'all, you know, that kind of thing. But the actual fear of death, you know, for a Christian anyway, it should be kind of, you know, a null point. I mean, we shouldn't be afraid of dying.
Yeah, death, where is your sting? All right, it says it's. Now, I could think of better ways to die than being burnt up, but you know, we won't go there, okay? But yes, I appreciate and agree with what you're saying. Right, Romans 8:31 says, if God be for us, what? Who can be against us? Right? One of the ways we know, it says, and we know. How do we know? We know by past experience is ultimately where I'm getting here. You should know because of the promise, and that he's saying it. If you believe God, then you believe God, and he says, yes, these things will work together. But we know because if you live long enough, you see it in your life. And if you're a Christian, you don't have to live very long. I could see stuff in high school, right? I could see stuff before high school a little bit, right? If you're looking. It's amazing how we go through life and we just think all this stuff just kind of happens. How did this happen? You know, and how did it happen that this came? And, you know, we don't even think about it. We just enjoy it, right? We walk out in the morning and manna drops and it's on the ground and we just think, oh, hey, there's manna. I mean, do we think where this comes from? Right? Do we understand that not all nations have manna drop down, right? As much as you can eat that day? Clothes that don't wear out, we just think, oh, yeah, you know what? These clothes are really lasting a long time. Or we don't even think about it because they never wear out. You understand that they wear out for other nations? And we think about the things in our life and the peace that we have and the way that we can approach problems and how we can turn things over to God. We can know that we're forgiven. We know that a mistake isn't fatal forever. Right? Of course, there's consequences to things, but you can move on. When you think about new beginnings, when you think about the love of God, when you think about his power and that we're his children and that we're called high priests and he wants to call us son and that he'll leave the 99 and come looking for us because we're that valuable, the world doesn't have any of that. And we wonder why we should approach things differently and that we're the salt of the earth and that we have a light, right? Those are all things that it's because we're in Christ. So we know there is a benefit. There is something tangibly different that occurs that you can be somebody, whether you have money or you don't have money. You know, our attitude is the same, that we love people, that we respect as much as is within you, live peaceably with all men. We're not a brawler. We're not obnoxious. We're not backstabbing people. There's a lot of benefit to living a life like that. People want to help you. People want to be around you. We can see it in our life, right? Deuteronomy 4:9. What does that say? Deuteronomy 4:9.
Diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen, and lest they depart from your heart all the days of your life. and teach them to your children and your grandchildren.
Okay. You know, when he says there, he says, you only take heed to yourself and diligently keep yourself, lest you forget the things your eyes have seen. And I want us to remember not to forget the things that your eyes have seen. Don't forget the things that God has done for you so far in this life. That's how you know that he's going to keep his promise for the next life. That's how you know he's going to keep you tomorrow. That's how you know he's going to keep you on Tuesday and on Wednesday. And that he's with you and he will keep you. Don't let your eyes forget. Don't forget what your eyes have seen. And that's what just infuriated God so many times, even with the children of Israel. And they come out and, oh, you know, you've brought us out here to die and you've done this and you're not going to take care. Have you paid any attention to what I've done for you? Oh, we want to go back. We'd be better off in Egypt. Don't be that kind of a person. Remember what God has said. Know that he will work things together for good.
And we can apply that both ways. Don't forget the bad. Don't forget what your life was without Christ. And remember what that was.
For sure.
So that you can appreciate, okay, well, I might be struggling right now, but I'm sure not struggling like I was then. When I didn't have God, we could get me through and seeing the difference.
Yeah, and we will always have issues. We will always have problems. We will always have struggles. God's told us that because we're not in the garden anymore. Okay, we blew that. Right, so you're going to work and your back's going to feel it. Right, I got up this morning, washed my truck. I haven't washed it forever. It was super filthy. I was not warmed up. Man, I did a thing. I tweaked my back. I almost dropped on the ground. All right? It's embarrassing. Okay? And, you know, this life, it doesn't get easier. You get older, body starts to break down. You know, you got to warm up and do stretches before you wash your vehicle. Okay, so, you know, there's going to be problems in this life, but God, if you're walking with him, through those problems, he'll find a way, right? It's going to work out. Use it to trust. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. He'll sit me right out there in the middle of my enemies. Who's going to hurt you? I'm your shepherd. Don't look all frightened and look all, I'm going to anoint your head with oil. Your cup's going to overflow. Right? No need to fear. It's going to work out. Surely, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Goodness is going to follow you. It's going to come. Look at all the times that he has taken care of us. All right, not going there. Matthew 6, 33 and 34, though, tells us that we need to seek first the kingdom of God, and then what? All these things, right, will be added to us. Right, all the things when he talks about, you know, things of the earth, he'll take care of us. Now, it says we know, right? We know that all things work together for good, but for those who love God, and for who else? For those who are called according to his purpose. Again, back in Romans 8, 28. Are these two different groups of people? Those who love God and those who are called according to his purpose? They're not, are they? I see heads shaking. No, they're not. They're the same people. Right. Those who are called, right, are the church. We can look at that. But those who love God What's John 14, 21 tell us? If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. Well, who are those who love God? It's the people who keep his commandments. Those people who are trying, who none of us keep it perfectly. None of us do everything. Sometimes it's out of ignorance. Oh, I didn't even know I was not supposed to do that, or I didn't know I was supposed to do that. Okay, and so we learn as we go. All right, and that's how the promise where he won't allow us to be tempted more than we can bear. I would hope that a 30-year Christian could bear just a little bit more than a 30-day Christian. And God knows the difference. Right? But as both are trying to do their walk, and as both are walking with him and keeping his commandments, right, that's what he's looking for. Is where you are today, are you doing your best to keep the commandments as you understand him and the things that he wants you to do? Not specifically speaking to the Ten Commandments. Right, so John 14, 21, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So who are the called? Look at Romans 1, 7.
To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay. So those who are beloved of God, called to be saints. All right, called to be saints. Look at 2 Timothy 1:9. What does 2 Timothy 1:9 say?
Purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus before time began.
Okay, thank you. Probably should have had you do 8. But he talks about not to be ashamed of the testimony in verse 8, by the power of God, but talking about God who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given to us in Christ Jesus. So what is that calling? Who are those that are called?
The church.
It's the church. I don't know why I don't have it on here, right? But the passage where we are called out of what? We're called out of darkness into the light of his Son, right? Into the kingdom. Many are called, but few answer. So we're all called. People are called, right? We're calling this morning. Come. How many are here? Few. Right. If you answer the call. And so, we got other things to do. This is all about our choice. We got other things that we think are important. And then people wonder, how can you have all that going on in your life? Or how can you have this? Or how can you be dealing with that and you're still sane? Right? You're still happy. You're still okay. Like how? Well, because all things work together for good. It's going to be all right, right? There's a peace that passes understanding when you walk with God, right? That's how, because I have a bigger picture, bigger picture. I know it's important. So it's for all those who love God and all those who are called, that's when things will work together for good. But it says that all things, does he really mean all things? Will all things work together?
Well, yes, all is all. But what I was going to say is sometimes we forget that even as Christians, and we can stray, and we can do things that are wrong. And fortunately, when we realize what we're doing, and we repent, and we get back on track, sometimes it's just amazing how things then work out. And things that we thought were going to be a big problem, and we reacted to it as a human instead of as a Christian, and we didn't pray, and we didn't go to God and ask Him to help us, well, when we finally do, it does work out.
Yeah. You know, and even, you know, should we sin that grace may abound?
No.
We're told no. Okay, let's not test that, and let's not run out and put on our frolic shirt and run through the sin fields of the world and, you know, see if God's grace is going to drop down on us. Okay, he says that's not the plan. Okay? But even in sin, for when we sin, and sometimes we kind of step in it and sometimes we really step in it as far as consequences in this world, does that work out for good if we turn back?
Learn from it, help somebody else.
You can learn from it, help somebody else, right? It helps you to what Dwayne's saying. It helps you to remember. I remember what it was like to eat with the pigs. And now here I am in my father's mansion with the fatted calf and like a party. There's a difference, right? It works out from no matter where you are, and you can remember, to the point that was made earlier, you remember what that was like. And good that comes from that is you don't want that for yourself, but you don't want that for anyone else. Let me tell you, that son has a different level of empathy for people who are lost in sin. I can promise you that. Versus Simon Peter, who might sit there and look at the Lord and say, well, if he knew what man or a woman it was that's touching him right now, he'd be repulsed. Simon hadn't been through what the prodigal had been through. Because if he had experienced what the prodigal experienced, I know it's a parable, but experienced that kind of sin, that kind of being separated from God, and he was lost, but now he's found, and he knows what it's like to be found. He knows what it's like to be accepted. He knows what it's like to be washed clean. He's not going to look at another sinner and say, if Jesus knew what a horrible person this is. He knows the path to get there. He was on that path, right? And we've all been on that path. Even the sin in our life, and overcoming sin, being able to overcome that with being humble and submitting to God and failing over and over and over and getting back, good can come from that. It builds our character, and we can help others who are struggling, and we can empathize and understand with what they go through. Right? We've all had different experiences in our lives, and when we see people, there are people that we've been through that. There's other things that people are going through, and it's, I mean, I know that's terrible, I don't really know how to relate other than it's terrible. But good comes, okay? So all things, And you look at 2 Corinthians 11, we don't have time this morning, 22 through 28. We look at Paul, and he goes through, and I've been beaten, and I've been shipwrecked, and I've been left for dead, and I've been, you know, that doesn't sound like good things are coming to Paul. If those are the good things, I'll pass. Right? But good things did come from all of that. Think about the encouragement that Christians had as they watched Paul suffer. What did they say? On the road, he said, he'll have to learn the things that he's going to suffer for my name's sake. And he suffers them and he overcomes them. Think about the encouragement that gave to the brethren. That Paul would sit there even after being beaten, him and Silas in prison, singing. Who does that? Somebody who has a different perspective on the bigger picture. That's who does that. And not someone who's looking, living in this moment right now, woe is me. But the bigger picture. God's going to work this out. And you know what? I'm ready to go, he says. Take me, Lord. I know what's coming. I'm ready. I mean, I've been waiting outside the carnival for a long time. I got tickets. Let me in. But it's necessary that I'm here and I got to suffer the needs of the church. So I'll stay a little while longer. But I'm ready. I'm ready. I know this isn't it. This is the pre-show. This isn't the main event. But all things, even those things that are tough, like Paul went through, and they work together. Things work together, right? I've mentioned before, I love chocolate. I love almost anything chocolate. I really love things dark chocolate, okay? Not white chocolate so much, okay? But dark chocolate, Now, Sandy makes a dark chocolate peanut butter cake that will set you on fire. It's so good, okay? But you look at those ingredients by themselves, I don't want to just eat like raw cocoa or like, I don't even know how much butter or what. I don't know anything about the baking stuff, okay? But I don't want to eat like a spoonful of flour, okay? I think flour's in there, or a raw egg, okay? I don't want to just, but so some of these things in our lives individually, they're not particularly appetizing. I don't really want to be beaten three times because I'm a Christian. That's like eating raw butter. I don't want to eat a stick of butter. But all of that, to Mark's earlier point, the things in our lives, they work together. When you blend them together and you have the right perspective, it can make something pretty fantastic. It's not stuff that you would normally think to add, but it makes you a better person. It makes you a better Christian. It's going to help you with your kids at some point. It's going to help you with your parents, it's going to help you with a coworker, it's going to help you with a spouse, it's going to help you with a brother or sister. Right? Those are the things that you've experienced. And they don't taste good in the moment, all of them, but the bigger picture makes something. They work together for good. For good. The challenge for us, right, is to be patient. And to say, right now, I'm eating a stick of butter. And, you know, doesn't taste the best. Just wasn't bad on some bread, but, you know, just eating the butter, not so great. Big thing is for us to be patient and know that wherever you are, take the bigger view. Look at how God has worked in your life. Don't be a person who sits there and says, when is God finally going to do something for me? Are you kidding me? You're in the kingdom. Take a look around. Be still and know that I am God. Understand what he's doing for you. Be grateful. Be thankful. And don't be a control freak. And let him run your life. and enjoy the walk. Enjoy the walk. Thanks for your time.